Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, the voice of the veterans for veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with myself and co-host Collie Hollywood is on assignment, and we're both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. We've got a great show for you coming up for you, coming up. First, we want to thank some of our sponsors that helped make this show possible. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the waterfront restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And we'd also like to thank all of our sponsors, and you and our great listeners. We could not do this without your support, so please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them, so join the discussion on Facebook for more information for that. So join the discussion on Facebook for more information on the topics of the day. You can tell the old man is kind of scattered around here a little bit tonight. Later on SBN, we'll be joined by our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. He will get us up to speed on the legal issues facing our veterans today. We will also be joined by Mr. Jerry Carl, candidate for Congress. He will share his thoughts on some of the issues facing veterans in Washington and the VA, going working through Washington and the VA. But first, it's a pleasure to be joined on SBN by my friend, Mr. Russell Fell. He's a gentleman is heading up the 29th Annual Kids Wishing to Go Fishing Rodeo. Russell, welcome back to SBN, buddy, and thank you for your service to the community.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Mr. Tom.
Well, I tell you what, the 29th anniversary of the Kids Wishing to Go Fishing, I had the distinct pleasure of working with Doug Houston on that for over 24 years. And it was a real pleasure to be able to pass that off to you and Greg Callahan over at ABC Science, because they all have really stepped up and done an awesome job with it. And it, to the advantage of the, you know, usually, what, 30 kids? Are y'all going to take out 30 again this year?
30 to 35, usually about 30, 32 show up the day of the event.
That's what we used to have when we were doing it. And you know what? If you haven't been on that fishing trip and seeing those kids that have never even been on a fishing boat, never had their own fishing rod, and never caught their own fish, and then they catch one, and then just see the excitement on their face, man, I'll tell you what, you don't make the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
Nothing like it, Tom, nothing like it. That's what's unique about what we do. We give them a rod reel, show them how to use it. At the end of the day, they get to take the rod reel home, We give them a tackle box with tackle and a backpack with other goodies, and we give away two laptop computers to two lucky winners this year.
Well, that's awesome. That is awesome. And it's great. I see you got a celebrity that's going to be on board with y'all this year as well.
Yes, sir. We're going to start having an annual celebrity, local celebrity fishing with the kids. And this year it's Mr. Roosevelt Patterson, local star. He was with the Viger Wolves, won a state championship and a national championship with the Viger Wolves, and also a member of the 92 Alabama Crimson Tide national champion.
Woo! That's strong.
Is he bigger and better is our motto. He's going to fulfill the bigger part.
Now
we just got to be better.
Y'all better behave out there on that boat if he's going out there with you.
Yeah, we're going to have to make sure he sits in the center of the boat. He's a big
know.
Man.
Yeah, and y'all can give him a ration. He'll be throwing you overboard. They'll be using you for bait.
Well, thankfully, Roosevelt's a good friend of mine, too, so I don't think I have to worry about that.
Well, you guys couldn't do this without sponsors. And I know you've probably got a list of them. And if you would, let's elaborate a little bit about some of the people and the companies and corporations that are working with you. I see that our dear friend Randall Dewitt, the county commissioner, is continuing to work with y'all again this year.
Yes, sir. He has always come through 5 years in a row. He's been the Mobile County Commission has sponsored us, and we thank him for that. Be remiss if I didn't mention the marina itself. Mr. Mike Miller and his staff at the marina, they let us use the Duke and their facilities. And that's our – between that and the city, county, that's our main sponsors. But we have a lot of our personal friends who donate anywhere from $100 to $500, and that goes a long way.
Well, all that stuff works, you know, because you got to buy all those rods and reels. And you buy all of the tackle boxes and all, and the backpacks, and then all of the gifts and all that you're able to put in the backpacks. But then, you'll have shirts and hats for them this year, maybe.
Yes, sir. We'll start off today with a bus ride. We meet there at the Timmons Corner, and we load them on a big charter bus.
Awesome.
And our sheriff, Mr. Paul Birch, gives us a escort and makes it real exciting for the kids, and that'll start our day off.
Well, you know, I've had the pleasure of coming back to that site when the bus is unloaded the kids after they've been down there fishing, and bring back their rods and reels and their backpacks and everything, and meeting their parents. And you know what? And I'd hear them talking about, "Mama, we had an escort with the flashing lights and everything going down there, and we had an escort coming back." And I caught two fish. Look at that. I got these two fish. And Mom says, "We're not taking those to my house."
We still do that. I bag them up in Ziploc bags and put their name on it and put them on an ice and ice chest. And, yeah, they get to take them home along with a tackle box and the rod and reel.
Yeah, well, let them take them home. Let the parents see that they did catch some fish, and they could get rid of them there. But I thought it was real interesting. You know, the biggest part of the kids going fishing, and you know, like two phases of it, was number one that they actually got treated like expert football team or a college team or NFL team or something, that they got a police escort on a big bus, and they really appreciate that phase of it. Just that's part of their trip, really.
Oh, yeah. We try to make it exciting for the kids. And like I said, that starts the day out. And then we take them out for a few hours fishing. We make sure everybody catches a fish. I mean,
right,
we've had to wait around a little while. And let's just say we've done some things to make sure a kid caught a fish.
There you go. Well, we have to. You know, we used to troll some. You know, we would drag a net and all. And get some bait and all, put in the bait trough there aboard the Duke. And the kids got as much fun, a lot of them did, out of just playing with the fish.
I was going to say, that's one of the most exciting things for them.
Know.
You know, we dump that net out, and, we get anything dangerous out of there that could hurt them or whatever.
Sure, sure.
And then we just let them play with the fish, look at all the strange creatures. Little 2-inch flounders are cute.
Aren't you? Yeah. Well, Russell, you guys, y'all doing an outstanding job there, and I'd like to say again, give you a big old shake and howdy. I'll try to be down there when the when y'all come in after noon at the marina. And
well, you know, you're always welcome, Tom. We'd love to have you, buddy.
Well, we love those kids, and we worked with them for those 20-something years there. We're helping Doug put that together, and it was just we really enjoyed it. We actually even promoted it by our veterans organization there for 3 or 4 years. So,
oh yes, sir.
All right. So, all right. We thank you for what you've done because you've been a big part of it, Russell. God bless you and all of your people on the trip.
Thank you so much, Mr. Tom. I appreciate the time for this evening.
All right, brother. Big deal. All right. And as always, you can visit Scuttlebutt Network for more information. On the other side of the break, Mr. Colin Kimberly from Gardberg and Kimberly, our sea lawyer, will be on the air.
America's best 100 men will test today, but only three win the green.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM. Firing the shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. If you like to listen on demand, you can also catch us on FM Talk 106.5 app for your smartphone because we're on a podcast probably in 3, 4, 5 hours or at least in the morning. You can be able to come in and catch the show in its entirety. And or you can listen to it now if you go to 106.5 FM Talk. My tirades are up on castbox.fm if you need to get your blood pressure up a little bit. But it's always an honor to be joined on SBN by our legal eagle from the law firm with his name on it, Mr. Colin Kimberly from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. Colin, sir, thank you for all you do for our veterans, and we appreciate you being on board here with the Scuttlebutt Network tonight, and we appreciate you helping sponsor this show.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be back with y'all this evening.
Well, we've got a lot of things going on now with our veterans, and now we see that they say they've got the Take Care of Americans Veterans Act,
yes, sir.
And which is currently being debated as opposed by it's certainly opposed by a lot of the major VSOs. What did you see on that, and how you as a veterans lawyer, how do you accept this?
Well, part of that Take Care of Americans Veterans Act has to do with passing. Part of it is called the Major Richard Starr Act, which they want to pay people that are injured in combat that have to retire or medically retire before 20 years are up. They want to pay them both their full retirement and their full disability benefits, which is an honorable thing to do, of course. We would all agree with that. But the way this act says is that they're going to try to reduce some benefits like sleep apnea or the tinnitus, the ringing in your ears, that issue. They're going to reduce those benefits. And, could be other benefits. We don't know that yet. But they want to reduce some benefits for some veterans to pay for other benefits. So a lot of people are opposing that with good cause. I mean, I think there's been sort of been kicked around in the VA since 2022 about sleep apnea, that they think that the ratings are too high. Of course, veterans that have sleep apnea that have CPAP machines usually get rated 50% if they're service connected. The lower rating could be 30% if you don't have a CPAP, but you have a diagnosis and you have treatment for the condition. So they want to, do away with that or reduce it, maybe down to say if you're medically treated and you are treated for it, you wouldn't get a 50% rating, you get a lower rating.
Hmm.
And then on a tinnitus, they just want to combine that with other things like hearing loss and tinnitus combined. Well, hearing loss and tinnitus are rated separately now. I see that every day.
Right.
Almost every single day we see that with a lot of our veterans, especially tinnitus, at 10%. And Tom, you and I both know 10% for tinnitus doesn't really move the needle on getting a higher rating over a combined rating overall.
Right.
It can help, but it's not a big factor. I don't know why they think that doing 10% on a tinnitus and combining it with hearing, unless they plan to just drop it all to zero across the board.
Yes.
And then, of course, that would just do away with the 10%. But my concern in that is that if they do that on that, what other conditions later on down the line do they think the Congress, not VA, this is a congressional action, they're going to reduce certain things by congressional fiat. For instance, a lot of our older veterans who served in Vietnam have diabetes and have the related conditions like peripheral neuropathies in both either their legs or their arms. Well, a lot of times I see the VA rate diabetes with peripheral neuropathy or diabetes with erectile dysfunction. I mean, these things need to be separated out and separately rated that can drive the combined rating evaluation up further.
Yeah.
So, we need to be watching this.
We're kind of on the page where we like to see anything that they're doing to increase the benefits for veterans and see that they get a better deal and a better shake out of that. And then the fact that we've seen a lot of veterans that say had 100% they got their retirement pay from the VA, from the Veterans Service, but then they got, say, 80% or so from disability, but they didn't got it, but they don't receive the money because they'll only if they get 80%, they're going to take that away from the amount of money that they're getting on their retirement pay. And I think that's a bogus deal.
Yeah, but that's at 50%. If you get more than 50, you get your disability and your retirement.
You get to keep both. Yeah. But, the guys that are getting 10%, 30%, 40%, and 50%, they got to get to that 50, though, before they can get both of those.
And don't even get me started on the fact that when you get above 50, then the VA and the Department of Defense, the DFAS, which is Defense Financial, have to get together and decide they're going to pay you both. That takes forever, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a whole issue with that. I mean, the two agencies are like, one saying, well, it's up to DFAS or the VA. The VA says up to DFAS. DFAS says up to VA. I mean, there's a whole issue with that. We don't need to get into all that. That would take an hour by itself to talk about that.
Well, that's so true. That's so true. How about telling us about this form 21-0966, intent to file?
I wanted to talk about this because I see this every day in our practice. Now, an intent to file, if you have a veteran who decides, hey, I think I want to file for a service-connected condition, or even I want to file for an increase on a service-connected condition, but I don't have all my doctor's reports or I don't have all my doctor visits. But the earlier you file that intent to file document, the better your effective date, which could be potentially back pay that you could get. So it's important that veterans do complete and file an intent to file document, the 0966, because that can control an effective date. Even if you wait, 6, 8, 9, 10 months, if you file within the year, within the 12 months, then your effective date will go all the way back to when you filed that document. So I want to make sure people are aware of that, that people understand that, that affects, a new application, which would be a 21-526 EZ, and I know I'm talking VA speak, but that's the form number. That's for a new condition or an increased rating. Or if you have a condition you filed for that was denied, then you're going to file a supplemental claim, which is the 0995. But that also can go back for a year on an intent to file. So we want to make sure people are filing those, they understand them. I mean, you can file them on your own. Even if you don't think you're ever going to file, but if you think you might within the year, please go ahead and file it to protect your
family. Well, that's the thing that I wanted you to bring forth to our audience is the fact that, in other words, if you determine today I'm going to go ahead and get all of my stuff together, and whether you go to an attorney or whether you're doing it through the DAV or you're going to file the stuff yourself, it behooves you to go ahead and file that form so that you can activate your date, right? And then it might be, is there a time limit from then on how long before you have to turn in your claim?
12 months, one year.
Okay. Yeah. So you do have that much lenient time.
I mean, right. You can file after that, but you want to protect it. You got to file it within the year.
Right.
Yeah. You know? And I get people who call me and say, hey, you know, I have this condition, like an orthopedic condition. I'm going to go see my doctor, but, you know, the way the system works, that's not for 4 months, and they're going to do an MRI, and I think my knee is much worse or my back is much worse. Well, that's where you want to file an intensive file. You want to do it today, because then if you go in 4 months and your doctor says, oh, yeah, your condition's much worse, we're going to have to do more, then you can file for an increased rating. You know, I'm just talking like that, an increased rating,
right,
and then it'll go back to the intent to file. It's really beneficial to do it.
Well, it's extremely beneficial for that. Now, you know, that being said, I know that you guys are members of NOVA, the NOVA group. Are you getting anything coming down from them as to how they are interpreting this congressional act?
I haven't seen anything on NOVA yet about it. I'm sure I will. They're very active in the legislative branch, of course, as you well know. Maybe it's just because it's, I don't want to say it's new, but maybe it's just coming out. You know, there's a lot of articles about it recently in the news, and I'm sure they're considering what their position will be on that. I suspect, need I say I know, but I suspect they're going to oppose, you know, any reduction on the sleep apnea tinnitus or any other disability.
Right, right. I would like to see them speed up anything they can do and add any additional benefits for veterans, naturally, because I'm a disabled veteran myself. Thanks to, you know, Mr. Colin Kimberly. He did an awesome job in my case. But then, and to take away from something that we already have, now I really get upset about that.
Yes, sir. So that's true. I mean, just taking it away and saying we gave it, but we're going to take it away.
We're
going to reduce it in the future. We're not going to give it to people in the future that people got it in the past, you know, that type of stuff. I mean, all of those ratings are supposed to be, you know, premised on medical evidence and medical positions.
Okay.
As regards to the way that, you know, the functions are. So, you know, other than some congressman just saying, we're going to pay for one thing by taking something else away.
No.
That's really not the way we want
to. No, that's not the way we want to do that. Well, we certainly appreciate you being on here. Give us your contact on how they can reach you to if you need your help on filing a case.
Absolutely. You can call us at 251-343-1111. Just call us and we'll be happy to help.
All right, brother. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
All right, have a good evening. Yes, sir. You're doing an awesome job for us. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, buddy. Take care. What a pleasure to be able to talk to our lawyer friend there, our legal eagle, and have him on board here with us. We're going to take a little break here and get some words from some of our great sponsors, and we'll be back, and we'll get a chance to talk to Congressman Brother Jerry Carl there. He has some opinions about some of this as well. Thank you, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, A Voice of the Veterans for Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing shots heard around the world. Along with Cal Walters, I'm Tom Claxton, and we're glad to have you join us tonight to discuss the issues facing our veterans. We want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. And what a blessing to have Colin on with us tonight. He's one sharp lawyer. And Ms. Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady. Daphne's Hottest Eatery at the coolest location on the bay. The Waterfront Restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive. The Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And we're joined on SBN by Mr. Jerry Carl. He's a candidate for Congress, and he's a prior congressman as well in the House, Alabama House District 1. Brother Jerry, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you for your service and every veteran that's listening. Thank you for their service.
Well, you know, Jerry, you talk about veterans, and I have the occasion to speak a lot here about our flags and our veterans and all. And the people have a tendency to overlook the fact that, you know, we have 1,700,000 veterans that have given their life for this country, yeah. So that we are here to do what we are to do. And just, you know, then we hear, for example, 58,000 of our veterans lost their lives in Vietnam. Well, they don't say anything about the 9 million veterans that served during all those years. 9 million veterans served, you know. That's what about those guys? But now, the veteran, the VA knows about that, because us, the guys that came back home, they're sick with PTSD or disabled in some joint or limb or body or back or whatever, a mind or eye. And, you know, so we expect the VA and America to take care of us, you know, us when we sign on that dotted line, because we signed for life. We just signed for an active amount of years. But when you sign to be a veteran, you sign for life. And
Tom, I have family members that are in that same category, as you well know. So I totally agree with you, and I understand exactly what you're saying. We have an obligation. We have an obligation to the country and to those veterans and the future veterans that we're constantly trying to recruit. We don't want to turn our back on our veteran community now, because of the young men and women we have serving us right now. We want them to feel comfortable. When they do need us, we're going to be there for them, too.
Well, it's just, and now here, you know, we see this bill that they've got before Congress, where they're wanting to make some changes to veterans' benefits. I'm pretty cool with making additional things available for the veterans. But where they start talking about, well, this veterans have been receiving this 10% for tinnitus. I believe he called it tinnitus. I've never heard that word. But then we talk about the CPAP deal for that and or hearing in some of the other areas. And you're going to give a veteran that's part of his existence to live and support what family he has left, what life he has left, and whatever physical and mental shape he may be in. And you're going to take some of that away from a veteran and give something to another damn veteran? I ain't on that page, Jerry.
Let me ask you a question. Has the VA ever taken something from you that they've given you before?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm talking, I know lack of service.
Oh, yeah, lack of service, yeah, but not money so far they haven't. No, sir.
Because Congress is not going to deal with that.
I don't think so.
All of us in Congress, and of course, I'm not there now. I don't have an ultimate answer for you. I've been trying to research this and come up with as much as I can. Usually when articles like this are written, there's somebody paid to have a hit piece written. And I really feel like there's more to this story than what we're reading, Tom.
Yes.
And that's encouraging. I want that to be heard as something encouraging by the veteran community. Because in Congress, the last thing you want to do is go against the veteran community, because that's going against America. That's the way it's viewed.
Sure.
So we are constantly, they'll all come together. I know you'll have a few stragglers probably in the Democrat Party. I can't think of one time in the Republican Party that somebody stood up against the veteran community. It's hard to imagine them doing it. This bill, as I do a deep dive in it, and as I read it, I read the article that you sent me, and the article, it sounds more like the union is more worried about losing personnel to the private sector than they are, and they're using these two as a point of reference to get everyone stirred up.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yes, sir. I picked up on that on the AFL-CIO on the internet.
And I'm not against the AFL-CIO at all.
No.
I mean, that's their job, is to defend their employees, and the VA is their employees.
Sure.
Everyone's VA employees are theirs.
Well,
so they're going to fight for every job they can.
Right.
Now, I'm one of those strange people that have really pushed because of where we're at here in Mobile. I have pushed for a lot of this stuff to go out into the private sector. You look at our resources here in Mobile. We've got a wonderful clinic right here, but they're limited what they can do.
Well, they're very limited. They're very limited.
If you want services, you've got to go to Biloxi,
right,
Gulfport, or you got to go over to Pensacola.
Right.
And I've heard these horror stories of these young men having to go all the way to Pensacola to get on a computer to talk to a 23-year-old psychiatrist that's just graduated out of Texas A&M or somewhere when they could have done it from their house. But,
right,
you know, so that's why I'm saying let's use our resources that we have here in town. Let's use our pharmacies that we have here in town because we can develop relationships with those people. I'm not saying do away with the VA hospitals.
No, we can never do that.
There will always be a need for
VA
hospitals.
We need additional help from what they are able to provide.
Yeah, you look at Veterans Resource here in Mobile. I mean, I fought like a caged cat to get the VA in Biloxi to honor their referrals to them. I couldn't think of a better place to send someone with a drug or an alcohol issue.
Period.
Than right
period.
There. Because I have sent several there.
I have too, personally. And they've had extremely good results.
But the VA wouldn't honor it. They wouldn't back it up. So I have fought to use these outside services. So what I'm getting at, though, is they view every referral out to a private sector as business they've lost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it truly is business they've lost, but it's business they can't fulfill.
Right.
They can't get to.
Right.
It's a volume issue.
It is.
So being in Mobile, I have to fight for my folks in South Alabama. I can't worry about the people in Miami, Florida, or Daytona Beach. It's got a huge hospital right there at the back door.
Right.
But you know, I honestly think, Tom, when you look at this, I would, first of all, anytime something like this comes up, I encourage every veteran that's got a question, call your congressman. You may not get to him. You may get a staff member. You tell that staff member what you want and to call me back. They will research it. They will find out, and they will call you back.
They will.
If they don't call you back, call your congressman.
Right.
Get him on the phone and say, hey, I've talked to your staff. I can't get help. And we all have staff members that fail us. None of us are perfect.
Right.
But make them aware of it, because if I was sitting in Congress right now, I would be walking over to the VA committee. I'd be walking in there and catching them on the floor and going, what is this about? Tell me more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you they would say, that's just a hit piece.
Right.
You know, they're worried. They're worried. I hope I'm right.
Yeah,
if I'm
so
not
too.
Right, I'll come on your show and tell everybody I'm wrong.
Right.
But it's gonna be hard. You're going to be hard-pressed to find any congressman that's going to turn his back on a veteran, because turning his back on the veteran, you're turning your back on about 20-25% of the congressionals.
Okay.
I mean, most of Congress at one time, especially after World War II, were 60% that were veterans.
Right, they were veterans, right?
And they're still somewhere in the All upper right. 20s.
Well, we've got a hard break coming in here, Congressman.
Okay, thank you.
But hang on, because I'd like to talk to you when you come back. It's another area that I'd like to talk to you about, sir.
Thanks,
right.
sir.
And on the other side of the break, more with candidate Jerry Carl when we return on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hit a lick against what's wrong. Say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program, a voice of the veterans for veterans on 106.5 FM. Streaming live on ScuttlebuttNetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton. Cal Waters is on assignment. Sucker's AWOL, that's what he is. I don't know where he's running up and down the dang road some damn place. A couple of overeats with just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say it with a fighting spirit to keep it. And again, we're speaking with Mr. Jerry Carl, candidate for Congress in Alabama, seat number one. Brother Jerry, it's a pleasure to have you on tonight. I enjoyed your ideas and your thought pattern on this particular bill that we were talking about here tonight. But I've had a lot
I'm
of
trying to be the devil's advocate for you and give you some positive on it, because I truly think it will be.
I would certainly hope so.
I couldn't imagine a congressman taking something away from the veterans. I couldn't.
I don't think he'd want to go back to his, you know, to see his constituents if he did that.
Well, he couldn't.
You know, he couldn't go home.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. I mean, that would be politically suicidal.
Well, you know, they talk about that, the veterans can't do this and the veterans can't do that. Well, you know, we have over 400,000 veterans in the state of Alabama. And that's, I might be wrong with this, what I'm starting to talk about here, but I understand that if a veteran can control 2.2% votes per each one of his votes, so we're talking about over 1 million votes just for the state of Alabama.
Yes, sir.
You know, and then
you split that into seven, and that's a lot of votes in one district.
It sure is.
Not to mention the responsibility as Americans that we have to fulfill our agreement with that million.
Well, one of the
that's something you don't overlook.
One of the things that a lot of the people I hope I'm not getting out of hand here with you and your family, but one of the things that I've understood, and I have talked to you on numerous occasions, because we've had a lot of dealings, and you've done a lot for veterans in the area that I've had the occasion to call you about while you were in Congress. And I mean, hell, you pulled miracles off, really. But you know, people don't know about all that, but I do. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate what you've done.
Thank you.
But I know that it's one of the reasons that you actually decided to get in Congress is so that you could help our veterans. Because you have a immediate family that are veterans.
And I had a son over in Afghanistan when I decided to get involved in politics, and I knew when he came home he was going to need help.
Yes.
Not necessarily what kind of help, but you know, I got a little taste of it watching him ship out into Afghanistan, and I said there's got to be more I can do for this country. So this is my way of giving back. It has been from the very beginning, and it will be to the last day I serve.
Well, I know that in the occasions that I've had to talk to you about it, I asked you, I said, well, you know, it seemed like the only time that I ever talked to you, I believe it was Zach was your chief of staff.
Right.
And what an awesome gentleman he was, and very thorough. I was totally satisfied with that gentleman.
I was on the phone with him last night. He's still around.
He's a great guy. He was a hell of an asset to your organization, and he was always very thorough. And I see you surrounding yourself with people like that. But a lot of people don't realize that you have quoted me and Zach did too. I said, how much of the work do you do in your office as a congressman and staff to a congressman? How much of it does it relate to veterans? And I heard a figure like 80%.
I don't know. I'd have to stop and think through. A lot of us veterans, it's gonna be 50 or more at least. 80 may be a little high and 50 is going to be a little low, but we get a lot of veterans requests. I mean, a lot of especially young veterans will come out and think everything's paid for, and it's not. You know, we have to have a limitation somewhere. But we work hard to expand what we can work with. But our veteran community, you know, and our needs are just enormous. But the veteran community has never suffered from lack of funds.
Right.
The funds have always been there. And they will, and I hope they will remain there. If it's left up to me, they will. We can do without other stuff, But again, if we don't deliver what we've promised our veteran community, we can't expect the new soldiers and Marines and flymen.
No.
We can't expect the new ones to step up and say, hey, I'll do it. I know you're going to cheat me out of what you're asking me, but I'll do it. No, it doesn't work that way.
No. If we're going to continue with a voluntary army or voluntary military period, then they have to feel like that they're number one, they're going to be taken care of. They're going to receive the discipline that they haven't received locally. And a lot of guys actually say that when they go in, I need to be a better man. And I feel like this is where I'm going to learn to do it. And then I know that, if something happens to me, they're going to take care of me. And we have to.
Tom, when you and I were younger and we had a chance to go in, it was usually us that had a bad disposition that went in to get us sick. Let's just be honest.
Well, I mean,
it is a new era now. Now you have to pass all kind of, drug screening and attitudes, and it's a different type of warrior that they're looking for
right
now.
Totally.
So. But at the same time, what I sent a 19-year-old kid into boot camp into Paris Island, and Lord, what I picked up when they let him out of boot camp was a full-grown man.
Amen. I
didn't hardly recognize him. I didn't understand the way he talked. He actually got up and made his bed. I mean, he was more respectful. I did not recognize him.
Right.
I had to relearn who he was, because the Marine Corps had taught him not to only value himself, but to value everything around him.
Right.
His family, his friends, So it's a great place for a young person to grow up.
Well, that's one of the things about going into the service, where that, I'm only familiar with the Marines because I am a Marine. That's all I can, that's the only thing I can express with 100% of authority. But when I went in, I had relatives, I had family that I worried about in my civilian life. But when I got to boot camp at Paris Island, they changed all of that. They took all of that away from me. I no longer had a family. They became my family. My brother on my left, my brother on the right, my brother in the front, and my brother in the rear was my family. Now, that stays engrossed in you. You don't worry about yourself as much as you have to worry about having the back of your other veterans and the other brothers that you are with, because they are going to take care of you. You don't take care of yourself. And that, and then we go into service, and that's the way we're trained, because our brothers, we have to trust that he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of my back. He's watching for me. So I have to be watching for my other brothers. But when we get out of service, Mr. Carl, they don't take that away from us and give us our civilian life back.
No,
they don't give us our civilian family.
The time gap there, and what you've lost as far as friendships and technology and social aspects.
I mean,
so much of that can't be replaced.
Well,
I had an old veteran tell me, he says, during World War II, I had a whole month to ride back on a ship and get deprogrammed talking to other veterans about issues and problems. He said now they'll pick them up, put them on a plane
for
12 hours or turn them loose.
They don't have time for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you expect the society to understand, what their needs are.
Right.
I mean, we don't have a perfect system. We truly don't.
Right.
We're taking kids and turning them into warriors, truly warriors.
Yes.
And then we expect to turn them back out on the street and be normal people. There's nothing normal about it.
No.
It's a whole new world.
And when we see a lot of our guys returning home that commit suicide, is the fact that they can't release that. They're still, when they're here, they're still worrying about those guys they left in Afghanistan, those guys they left in Iraq, those guys that they might have left in Vietnam, wherever it might be.
I don't want to confuse anybody and think that I was in service. I was not. But I've spent a lot of time around a lot of veterans, around a lot of servicemen, listening. You have to listen. Don't talk. Listen. Well, they start telling those stories and feeling guilty about leaving their platoon behind.
Right.
It was their time to get out and not the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a tremendous amount
of
guilt.
Deserting. They're deserting their
yep,
brothers.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're
exactly.
Deserting.
So,
well, that all being said, we can talk about that for 3 weeks. But what I would like to say is that during the time that you had as a congressman, I had nothing but good results out of contacting your office.
Well, thank you, sir.
And I've looked forward
to... We're far from perfect.
Well, I look for... Hey, all of us make mistakes, Brother Carl. You know, that's why we have to get out on our knees and pray to ask the Lord for our forgiveness,
Amen.
You know? So, and because none of us are perfect, and he was the only one who was perfect, and dang, if they didn't kill him, you know?
And they crucified him for
us,
sure did.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
We got an election coming up, August the 11th. I would beg anyone, please get out and vote. It's going to be a very low turnout. We realize that. I ask for your vote. Go online, Jerry Carl for Congress. Check us out. We just got endorsed by Donald Trump, Speaker Johnson. We got a whole list of, we got in the last 36 hours, I think we've picked up 15 different endorsements. It's the floodgates have opened up, and it's been a different world for us. But it's been a year to get here. It's not like it happened overnight.
Amen. Right.
But we've been so blessed, and we want to go back in. We want to serve our veteran community. We want to serve our farm community. We want to serve our business community. We want to be a servant of the people of District 1.
Of the people, right.
Period.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Appreciate you taking the time with us tonight.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Bye-bye.
Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. Hoorah!